It's the end of Comedy Week here, and there's only one more item on our to-do list. We need to crown a winning team for the week, and we need to send two contestants home. Yes, it's a double elimination episode, and it starts right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett, and we're wrapping up our fifth challenge of season two, which is Comedy Week. I've asked our teams to create a recap podcast for a completely made-up TV show. And if you haven't heard the entries this week, they're all available on the feed. Coming up on today's show, we'll have the judging and elimination session, where special guest coach and comedy writer Matt Flanagan, as well as our regular team of judges, Justin, Jenny, and Scott, will review each of the entries. But before any of that, Coach Tom Merritt gave us his rundown of all three teams.
Stick figure squad, cop show tropes. Their big challenge is they came up with the most parodied genre that they want to do. That's not necessarily bad. It means that there's well-traveled ground, and it's well-traveled ground for a reason. It works. People are familiar with this, so that it's easy to get your audience on board to be like, okay, make fun of a cop show. I'm in. The hard thing is you have to make fun of it in a way that they haven't seen before, or they'll just yawn and say, yeah, I've seen that before. So really tried to push them to come up with some good ways to keep that fresh. Having the cast be in prison, I think, is a great example of that. I think they're very wise to not want to build it up too much and make it too complicated. That's very smart. And this is a good, solid team. So I have a feeling that they'll crack this. And I'm really curious to see what they end up with, because I think it's going to be really good. Banana Show Wizards, with a little bit of a scattered approach. They really need to narrow in on what show they want to do. The heartening thing for me is that they weren't in love with any one idea, which is definitely good. You don't want to have a sweetheart idea that you just can't let go, because what if it's bad? So I think I got them in the right mindset to be thinking, don't just come up with an idea, smash some ideas together, turn tropes on their head. And I hope that they'll be able to keep throwing out those ideas until they get the one they want. The thing that they didn't even realize they had done was come up with a really good structure. That asking questions structure about the show, that sort of, we predicted this last week, how right were we, I think is a really great one. And that might help mold how they come up with their final show. Live Action Renegade Podcasters, Big Brother with Cats. Beautiful. I don't like to necessarily say some team is better than another, but of the state of the development so far, when I talked to them, this was the best formed show idea. They already knew, how they wanted to treat it. They have their structure down. For them, it's really just about the execution. They have to make sure that they deliver the goods on these great concepts. They need to make sure they have the production elements to stand out. And at this point, they're a bit ahead of the game. So I'm looking forward to see what they come up with.
Hey, you ever say no to the question, do you want fries with that? No, me either. You can pretty much tell by looking at me. Give me the DVD with no bonus features, please. Yeah, it doesn't work. Well, if you love bundles, Rogue Amoeba has the bundle for you. The ultimate podcast bundle. It comes with Audio Hijack, which is your do-it-all recording software. It includes Loopback, which you can use to route audio from one application to another. You get your Fission, your perfect simple audio editing solution. And finally, Farrago. That's right, Farrago, the soundboard you need for your podcast. Each with the perfect solution to your podcasting needs, and cheaper to buy altogether than to buy individually. And right now, Rogue Amoeba wants to sweeten the deal. Use the code ANTP20 to save 20% off the Ultimate Podcast Bundle. Get all four of those products, Audio Hijack, Loopback, Fission, and Farrago. Or if you only need one or two, use ANTP20 to save 20% off of just the ones you need. That code again is ANTP20. Visit rogueamoeba.com to learn more.
Hello, Hammond here. Today I'm going to talk about compression. Compression is sometimes looked at as a dirty word. Yes, it can reduce the dynamic range, and recently there was an overabundance of compression used in music that made everything kind of samey-samey and reduce some of the dynamics that people liked and enjoyed in music. However, it also serves an important role in affecting sound and balancing levels. And that's especially important when podcasting. I use compression when I'm putting together the individual tracks that make up each show. This will give me the widest range of control over volume and sounds and quality long before I ever get into the mixing of each episode. I will also use compression on the final mix as well. This will put a nice balance to everything as it goes out. I have a lot of compressors that I can use, but I really enjoy the Renaissance compressor from Waves. This easy-to-use plugin gives you control over all of the aspects of compression and compression behavior. And again, what makes it even more useful is once you have a setting dialed in, you can save it and use it over and over again with just a couple of clicks. The amount of information and control that is given by this plugin is kind of nuts. The Renaissance Compressor is my first choice when mixing and mastering my shows. For more information, go to waves.com or click the link in the show notes and get your Renaissance Compressor now and start mixing. We are happy to have Waves as a sponsor of America's Next Top Podcaster and are thrilled that they are presenting this season's winner with their gold package of plugins.
This episode is brought to you by Shure, a leader in professional audio equipment. Are you looking for a great upgrade for a basic dynamic microphone, but you don't want to break your budget? Maybe a solid performer with some great additional features to let you customize your sound? The Shure SM7B is the right mic for you. The SM7B is a broadcast standard with a flat, wide-range frequency response with built-in controls for your bass roll-off and mid-range emphasis. And no need to search for a shock mount to go with it. It comes with one, as well as a windscreen and a pop filter. This is a solid performer. It's a mic that James Hetfield of Metallica uses. It's a mic that Jeff Tweedy of Wilco uses. And it's a perfect addition to your podcast studio. The Shure SM7B. Get more information at Shure.com. We thank Shure for their support of America's Next Top Podcaster. Thank you, Tom, for your insight there. It's now time to get into the judging and elimination. As always, I'm joined by our judges, the host and CEO of Frog Pants, Mr. Scott Johnson.
Hello, and it's good to be back.
The host of Politics, 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 and the jury show. Well, it is jury.
Oh, hi, friends.
And two folks from Infinite Gain Studios today, our regular judge, Jenny Josephson.
Hello.
Hey there.
And special guest judge, you heard him right there, Matt Flanagan, our comedy coach for this week, playing some more comedy on us by saying hello before I even get a chance to announce him. Welcome, Matt Flanagan.
Entirely planned, not at all stupid. Hey there.
You read my script perfectly, Matt. thank you guys all for being here and joining us again. It was Comedy Week, but not just Comedy Week. It was the Comedy Recap, TV Recap Challenge, in which I asked folks to create a comedy TV recap show or create it. I'll just take comedy, the word comedy out. It's scaring everybody. I can tell they're shaking. Create a TV recap show based on a fictional TV show and then somehow steer it into comedy. What were the judges looking for this week? Let's start with Scott.
Well, that is a great question, Brian. I think what I was looking for was someone to take a hint from last week and do a thing that only, I hate to say it, one group did for me. Uh-huh. I don't want to speak for the other judges. But what I was looking for was a compelling fake show to build their recap show around. But more than that, a compelling group of voices talking about this thing I would know was fake the whole time. They would have the disadvantage of not having an actual show to talk about and recap, which is really hard. I think this is one of the hardest things you've asked anyone to do on this show. And also to make it funny just adds to the difficulty. So what I was really hoping is somebody was going to get creative and build out a concept for a show first and then play in that space as if that show existed. And I think one group did it better than all three.
Ooh, can't wait to hear. How about you, jury?
You're a lunatic. Why would you do this to these people?
Well, you know, I was going to say this later, but I'll say it now. And somebody, and I can't remember who said it in Discord, but I thought it was a great way to explain this, is that last year for the comedy thing, I said, make a comedy podcast, go. 3, 2, 1, go. And this time I gave them some structure and some foundation to build on. Basically, somebody said, yeah, last season, the contestants were thrown into an ocean. This season, they're just thrown into a swimming pool. And so,
but it's
a lot
an easier Inception
to...
swimming pool.
Yeah.
It's an Inception swimming pool.
Yeah, please, please do an audio slapstick podcast about Russian literature. Go. Thank
Hold
God.
On, let me write that down for next season.
Thank
season
God
three.
They have some parameters. Oh my God, Brian. Jesus.
Yeah, but I think
comedy's hard. So here's what I'm looking for survivors. Like, this is. Very hard. There was a lot of effort, and unfortunately, unlike many of the different genres that you guys are doing, comedy is something where often it's like quicksand. The harder you work to get out of it, the further you are sucked into it. And that is ultimately where buckle up.
How about you, Jenny?
I was looking for solid execution and some laughs.
Cool. Yeah, I think this is one of those weeks where making the judges laugh is obviously a perk, but if your concept is solid and they can see the concept is solid, then I think that we can be forgiving, or they can be forgiving, on some of the laughter, on some of the entertainment value. But we're going to see. We're going to see how that all goes. Now, special guest coach, judge, Matt Flanagan. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Very good. You got my cue perfectly.
I nailed it. I'm learning. I have the ability
totally
to learn.
Without being specific, what kinds of things were you looking for this week? I guess without being specific about any one team, because we're going to get to your thoughts on each of the team entries. Later on in the show, but I want to kind of know your overall thoughts on how everybody did.
Sort of a similar to Scott. I basically looked at this like, there are a lot of boxes to check, and I agree that it's a really, really difficult assignment. But in order to check those boxes, you have to make a huge decision in the beginning, which is, are you going to check all those boxes by writing out all your jokes and exploring everything that you can in terms of, television recap tropes and everything, and such that you nail everything, but it sort of stays there on the page, or you're going to allow yourself some room to sort of talk about it and plan it just such that it can breathe a little bit, but risk being really chaotic. And I kind of think there was a column A, a column B, and one that did it right in the happy medium.
Interesting. Spot. Oh, wow. I can't wait to hear your thoughts as well. This is exciting. All right. Well, then let's get right to it. We're going to jump right into the judging, and we're going to start off with the Live Action Renegade podcasters, David, Gabriel, and Jen. Hello, howdy. LARP.
Hi.
Hello. LARP. Let's first talk about the credits on this one. The concept was David and Jen. The script was pretty much everyone. Music, Gabriel and David, and editing and sound design was David. Let's talk about the concept behind Cat's Got Your Tongue. Explain the concept.
So I think this was when we were going through a lot of different show ideas, and we had kind of come to the conclusion that we wanted to do a reality show. And I thought, what if it's like The Bachelor, but people trying to like find a mate for their cats or their pets? Like, that would be silly. And then we were like, nope, let's just make it Big Brother, but they're cats.
Excellent. I know you were playing around with a bunch of different ideas, and I do like that Bachelor one as well. There was one that, what was the
Swole Mate?
Swole Mates, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm really, really, really glad you
went with
cats. You're gonna actually find that cats were a very popular subject this week as we count through this. But let's talk first about the meeting you guys had with Tom. Now, David, during the discussion with Tom, you came out as someone who doesn't watch TV.
What? No.
This is always a favorite. No? You didn't say that?
That was definitely me.
Was that Gabriel? Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. I had my notes. It was David. But all right. So, Gabriel, you don't watch TV. Now, do you think that helped you guys or hurt you guys this week?
In both ways, hurt in some areas because I was unfamiliar with Big Brother. So we just had to kind of go off of like doing some research and then just what would be kind of, as they said before, bananas, and just kind of make it nuts.
I think it allowed a little bit of us taking all of this weird reality show stuff at face value and having fun with it. while still trying to dig into what do people like about this. So it was definitely interesting.
Cool. Well, I enjoyed it. I really like the fact that you guys stuck a commercial in there. Whose idea was that?
I think we all kind of talked about that. David pulled it off, though, I think.
Yeah, it was something like, I was like, we have enough time. I had this idea. I'm going to try it and see if it works. And that's how we got there.
I think all three shows, I think the other two shows would have also benefited from a commercial. I mean, I think that all three of you did fine. But I think the commercial aspect is a really easy way to insert another comedy bit that can have absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the show, or something to do with the rest of the show, is the case with your loot crate parody.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of just poking fun at podcasting too, which is a good spot to go for the comedy.
Very good. And you know, there, even the thought of like you guys coming in all of a sudden with a Squarespace ad or a Purple ad or something like that, I think would have been funny too. Even if it was one that was delivered completely straight, I think it would have been really funny as well, but I did really enjoy that. All right, who came up with the "she was my wife" line?
That was me.
Okay, how did you come up? Like, was that based on anything, or is that just as you guys were kind of riffing on the talking to the cat idea?
So the idea always kind of was that I was going to get into a fight with the cat in some way, and Tom was okay. Like, "Go an unexpected route with it." So it was decided that Pancake had broken up my marriage.
Okay.
So that's, yep. That's
we took Tom's advice. Tom was like, yeah, come up with five reasons and like keep going until you get to the one. Don't go with the first couple ideas. And
exactly. The unexpected was what we're aiming for.
Right. Yeah. Five ideas, knock out the worst four, and what you're left with is what's funny. Was there any thought given to making the cat have like a human voice? Like have all these cats that are meowing throughout the whole rest of the episode. All right, we're joined by, I can't remember the cat's name that you guys had, but we're joined by Puddles. And Puddles, what did you think about the contest?
Well, you know, it was a really tough contest.
If we had you doing the voice like that, we would have absolutely considered it.
No, it was funny though, because because when we had Gabriel, when we did the recording, we had Gabriel just say like meows throughout the recording, and listening back through it just for kind of editing purposes, I was like, man, I kind of just want him to be a cat.
For the record, that's just Brian's Australian accent.
It is. That's the only Australian accent I can do. Yes. And it's also my New Zealand accent. So let's go ahead and see what the judges thought. And we're going to start off with Jenny.
Oh, hi. Okay. So I am the outlier on this one because I just loved it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because we have a lot of cats. Maybe it's because I used to have a book a long time ago that was like treated cats like real people in the world. It's very strange, but I absolutely adored this. I thought sometimes like your execution was flawless. Like sometimes it's just enough to execute well and like do beat, 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 beat. There was much laughing out loud in our household. We laughed really hard at the sunspot because it two things simultaneously, which is it took a reality show trope of always having like room or an area, and then at the same time made it actually cat-like. So I just thought it was funny. And also, I really appreciate that somehow you made the cat who called in for the interview Skypey. Like, was that on purpose? Because it was sort of like the cat was coming in on Skype and it sounded Skypey in a way that nothing else did. And that made me laugh really hard because it was like yet another podcast.
Yeah, I'll respond on that. Yes, I did make it sound like that on purpose.
Yeah, that was really funny. And so I sometimes like not getting too much in your own head about a concept is really good. I'm going to let Justin handle some other bits of this. But in my mind, it was funny, did what it had to do, and I really liked it.
Very good. Justin.
All right. So for me, I very much appreciated, and this is to everybody, you guys put a ton of effort into the writing, and you guys wrote a lot of jokes, and a lot of those jokes and puns and stuff like that were really funny. Like I can't look at them and say that they are not clever or interesting, and you guys deserve credit for that. The problem I had with this podcast and another one is that you gotta let these things breathe. Because if it's just a machine gun of joke, number one, considering where you guys wanted to go by the end of this, we were already sort of burnt out on the idea that cats have silly names and that some cats are mean or some cats are aloof. In a lot of ways, at times, I really wanted you guys to take this a little bit more seriously, because if you take it just a touch more seriously, if you just give us a little valley, those peaks hit a lot harder. And then here's the thing. All right. So the interview, right, where you guys are interviewing the cat. Who said that they came up with the line?
That was my wife line. Like, would have been on me.
Okay. So if I say the word Chewbacca, does anything ring a bell in regards to that line?
I'm guessing you're talking about when Harrison Ford was on Kimmel?
Yeah. You know that that's like the same line that leads in with the same premise.
Yeah. I mean, it hadn't occurred to me until now, but sure, yeah.
Okay. You know, that's... There's always a fine line between homage and just kind of ripping something off. If the premise is different and you use that line, it's an homage. If the line is different and you use the premise, it's an homage. If it's the same buildup and the punch out is right there on the same line. It's funny because I was thinking about that bit because I wanted to bring it up to you guys as an example of where you could have cleaned up some of the stuff, because it's a very well-written sketch that builds very cleanly. And as I was thinking about that, you said the punchline of the sketch. So it stuck in my mind there. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
All right. Scott.
Well, that would be me. Yeah, this wasn't my favorite. I think that there were a few things going on. One of the things nobody's mentioned yet that I'll just mention is it seemed like it had some real hard edits in it. So sometimes a joke would be told with no room to land. And we were immediately on to another conversation. It would make me have a hard time sort of grasping that joke and holding on to it for a second and deciding whether it was funny. It was like, well, I got to keep going, so I'll try to remember that later or whatever. It was like this conflict in my head. And so I think some of that didn't help you. Also, this is such a hard challenge. I realize that every part of this is daunting. But for me, it came off as sort of a fake conflict. And I know it is one. Like, that's true of what you're doing. But what I was really hoping for was one that felt natural. In the sense that, you know, somebody loves a show. Let's say they watch Lost every week and they do a show about it every week. And even when there's conflict, I like to feel some of that is genuine. And in this case, again, it's a hard challenge, but in this case, I just didn't feel it. I liked the fake commercial a lot, actually. I think that may be my favorite interstitial of any of these this week, maybe even of the whole competition so far. I thought that was really smartly done and funny and well-placed. And I think it broke up the content nicely. But by the end, I found it kind of unlistenable toward the end. It went a little too parody, not straightforward enough for me. And I like, you know, the whole idea is about doing something that sounds like a real after show of a fake show, not a fake one about a fake one. And unfortunately, it came off as very fake. And again, it is fake. Like, that's the whole thing. But I was looking for that magic of convincing me that you're still talking about a thing that is entertaining and doing it in a way that endears me to the hosts, because at the end of the day, that's what matters to me the most, is how much I like the group. And it was just too written and too read for me to feel that way, I think, this time. So it was a good effort and a Herculean challenge this week, mm-hmm. that which Brian should be ashamed of.
Oh yes, I've slapped my wrists a bunch of times this week in shame. Yes.
And cats are cool. I'll give you that.
All right, Jen, are you the cat person of the group? Are all three of you cat people, or
take him or leave him?
George is my cat.
No cats, so. No pets, no dogs, no children. Nothing that could die is allowed near me.
Yeah, this is me making fun of myself as much as possible.
Gotcha. I think it definitely came through in the show for sure. Matt, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of I differ a little bit from Scott. Well, first off, I have to say I like this one more than anyone because it checked all the boxes that I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Meaning, like, you know, there was it was heavy on comedy. They came up with a lot of it felt like they really knew their show. There were tons of cat names. It felt like they knew the history of their show. I kind of feel like even though it was obviously parody, we're in a world where there are so many ridiculous reality shows that it's almost not that crazy. It's crazy to think that the cats are talking, but to think that there would be like a show about cats. So in a world where we're just trying to entertain for this challenge, that didn't really bump me. And particularly so because more than any other of the particular groups, I felt like this one did the best job of taking the comedy that they had off the page. And particularly, is it Jen who was one of the co-hosts? Yeah. Jen, do you have like improv background or?
I LARPed for a long time. So yes.
And you channeled it right into it. Were you wearing a cat costume?
No, not entirely.
I only say that because I know it's really hard when you have to write out so much comedy and you have to write out certain jokes, but you also want to sort of generate that loose feeling that a good podcast has. And I feel like you more than anyone generated that and collectively you guys did. So I felt like it didn't feel canned and it also didn't degenerate into chaos, which can sometimes happen if you're just doing bullet points and you're trying to keep it loose, but you feel like you're running out of jokes and you're going all over the place. I felt like you guys had so much structure, like the sunspot that Jenny was talking about sounded like a part of a cat reality show. So but yeah, bravo. Good job.
Thank you.
Very good. Yeah, now I got to start working on my LARP material. So I think I'm going to come out on stage and say, "Hey," or I guess show up on the field in my gear, my cloak, my great cloak, my steampunk, and say, "Hey, who here likes their airplane food?"
Perfect.
Okay.
Comedy's hard. It's hard.
Comedy's hard. Yeah. 0 points. 0 points for Brian. Did I not stick the line?
Oh no, that was great.
Yeah, I could tell. All right, well, let's move on to Stick Figure Squad. Thank you, LARP. All right, and welcome Melissa, Kristen, and Bobby.
Hello.
Who produced Rec Yard Recap.
Good evening.
Concepts on this one. Everyone was involved in concept development. Writing was Melissa and Bobby. Editing and sound design was Bobby. Here's two credits that I really like, and I want to get some descriptions on these. Emotional support and centering from Kristen. And let's start with this one here. Execution of the quote-unquote Jenny Josephson analysis test. Melissa, what is the Jenny Josephson analysis test?
Well, I'll explain that because I added that in at the last second as a joke.
Yeah, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Melissa doesn't even know she's credited with that one.
Well, she'll know what I'm talking about. So we've developed a very patent-pending process that allows you to identify and hopefully eliminate the sound of any edits ever on your on your podcast. It requires editing, then sending that edit to Melissa, who then with great scrutiny listens to it and gives you the precision time code of an edit that she hears, and then you send it back to the editor, who then checks to see if there is in fact an edit at that location.
Oh wow. Then, okay.
Congratulations, you are now ready for public radio.
That's awesome because
that happens to me all the time.
That you did a great job with that because to me it did sound like it was done in one take. So to hear cool. that there was editing definitely surprises me. So well done for sure on that part. And Kristen, what is the emotional support and centering? Is that something that needed to happen frequently during Comedy Week for you guys?
Just, you know, nice reminders to Melissa and Bobby that they will exist and they will live on after this week and to bring it back and remember to breathe and hydrate.
Very good.
She's only saying that because they said I might pass out.
A couple of times.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to the show itself. Rec Yard Recap. Explain your concept.
Well, Rec Yard Recap is a recap show where three hosts who are inmates in a state penitentiary record during the 10 minutes of artistic free time that they get that is given to them by the American Corrections LLC Prison Corporation. And they are recapping every week their favorite police drama. What did we... Manchester Homicide.
Yep. Very good. Now, I was listening in on the phone call with Tom. And Kristen, I think you had brought up the idea that you guys had about the reveal of the hosts being inmates, which was the point at which the point of the listening in that I was really glad that I was muted, because that's when I started laughing. This is brilliant. I think Tom suggested doing the reveal slowly and more closely to the end. You guys kind of came out of the gate with it. Is that because of the time constraints, or what was behind that decision?
No, I fundamentally disagreed with Tom.
Yeah. And then we realized it didn't make sense for it to be a series if we were slow revealing it. That would be like a first episode. So we kind of went with, hey, let's go with it. Let's maximize our ability to make jokes.
I think it was the right choice. For sure.
Like, I think the way I thought about it was, the slow reveal is a way you could do it, but then that makes the whole 10 minutes about the reveal.
Right.
And we didn't want that to be the single joke that we were building to.
It becomes 9 minutes of setup and one punchline, as opposed to getting the reveal at the beginning and having a bunch of different punchlines, which I thought you guys did really well. You also had Matt Flanagan, who kind of gave you a hand with this. Was there one piece of advice that Matt gave you that was the most valuable for you guys this week?
What do you think, Melissa?
I was just going to say he touched on tropes a lot. And so we kind of went in that route with cop shows and trying to play on the tropes of cop shows.
Very good.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of like Matt kind of gave us the idea or helped center us and think about it. Up until we had talked to him, we were trying to think about like the whole concept and how it would all look all at once. And he said, well, maybe think about not the show and what that whole show looks like, but instead think of your show as representing a genre full of tropes that you can make fun of. That sort of brought us back and said, okay. And we reapproached it from that perspective.
Great. Well, let's see if that worked for our judges. We're going to start off with Justin.
This was my favorite podcast of the week. It made me laugh out loud, specifically the moment where you guys were the one dude was geeking out about the detective. That was very, very funny to me. And ultimately, this was my favorite because I understood it. I understood what the hell was happening. Like, I knew that you guys were reviewing a Law and Order a style procedural. I understood that there was one of you that really loved that you guys were going to just unequivocally stan various tropes that are in these shows. And I could therefore give my brain had time to process why these jokes were funny, and I could get into your guys' characters. And to be totally honest, that's something that I really wasn't able to get out of any of the other shows, is to understand as you guys were going on. I could, once I understood your characters, I can now understand the show that you guys are talking about. The only thing I'll say is this. There's a phrase in comedy and comedy writing called putting a hat on a hat. And it's not that either of the hats are necessarily bad, right? They're just unnecessary when you're already wearing a hat. And I felt like this, if you guys had never gone to the idea that you guys were in a penitentiary and it was just a prison themed version of a recap show, I would have thought it was just as good. In fact, I probably would have thought it was better because it would have been cleaner. And similarly, if you guys were doing a prison recap show about various other television, like real television or other various different things, I probably would have thought that was a little bit cleaner. No, actually, no. I don't know. I like the first premise more than I like the second. But That being said, I don't know exactly how much the prison stuff added for me. But regardless, that being said, you guys are my favorite.
Scott, go ahead.
Okay. This was by far my favorite of the week. Like leaps and bounds ahead of anything else. And it was due to a lot of factors. The number one factor that won you guys over for me this month or this week.
Cover month or comedy month.
Yeah, comedy month. Just about to end comedy month. I think you guys did the trick, and the trick was so important to make this work. And the trick was this: come up with your concept, build it out a little bit so you got a little world building in your heads, and then sit around a table and talk about it as if it was real and do it in the way that you would if this was an actual show. Forgetting for a minute about the whole prison premise and all of that, which I actually think worked weirdly. Even without that, I think this still would have won for me because I felt like you guys were real people saying real stuff around a table and not reading it off a page and not prompting each other based on a script. It felt like actual interaction, actual laughs between each other. And I found that incredibly endearing and the one I would prefer of everything we've heard this week. It was easily my favorite. I also liked your audio. I thought your audio sounded really good. I thought the bed thing with the sound of the prison thing was going to make things weird. I didn't feel that way. I liked it.
I spent a lot of time. I worried so much about whether that would be annoying.
Yeah, I think it felt right. Yeah, it felt right. And the entirety of that conversation just felt like friends, and it felt like authenticity. Which is something I've heard each of you talk about before. In particular, Melissa has mentioned this many times. That matters. So even though you're talking about a fake thing, you are authentically talking about it. And there's a difference. And I really liked it. So I would just say, well done, you guys.
I'm going to add one more thing before we move on. The idea of a television detective emptying an undrank cup of coffee week by week as his signature move is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Harkens back to David Caruso taking off his sunglasses. So
well, yeah, because it's like there's 50 of these things. So you know that they all have to have a thing. And that just seems so believable to me. And also just that he'd be looking cool while he's doing it. He's just like looking into the crime scene and just emptying a full cup of coffee into a trash can is very fun.
Very good. All right, Jenny.
So I really like this one. This was only like 2 points off for me of the top score. So it was really close. And I love the idea that it was an ear hustle type podcast, but that it was recapping a Law and Order show. Like that to me melded seamlessly. I thought it was a good concept. I really liked the sound design so much. And it was, you executed the trope of the podcast perfectly, of a podcast thing, the trope of a recap thing. And I think the only thing I would say is, like, did I totally feel like I knew all the characters? I'm not sure I did. I knew enough, but I felt like I didn't get, like, entirely a distinct character sense from the people who were recapping the show. All the time. But I really, really like loved it. It was great.
Very good. All right. And Matt.
Thank you.
I thought the concept for this was great. I love the idea of a bunch of convicts talking about their favorite cop show. And I love that the time clock is a prison guard who keeps telling you how much time you have left. I thought that was, I actually laughed at that every time you heard it. Totally agree with Scott. That this was very, very solid as far as an easygoing vibe. You know, it didn't feel like it was being read. A lot of, you know, fun interplay off of each other. I loved a bunch of good jokes, even though it didn't feel written. I mean, there was one in there that was like, like the time Mahoney had to sell drugs from the evidence locker to his CI. It felt like you knew your show. But the only critique I would say is that it sort of felt like like talking about the Cat podcast, how they sort of had it structured out and they were able to take it off the page. They really knew their show and they sort of had enough they had enough ammunition, they had enough jokes to carry themselves all the way through. There were times where I feel like you guys, that it got so loose that it felt like maybe there wasn't enough joke in there, you know, like you wanted more. Like I was like, oh, are there going to be more, will there be more bits due to the fact that they're in a prison? Is somebody going to come up to them and interrupt them as they're doing the show? Is there more within the characters of these people who actually did things that will come out? And I felt like those can only come from writing. But again, sometimes when you write those things, it takes away from how loose it feels because it'll feel canned. So like in the balancing act, I felt like this at times toward the end might have been a little bit all over the place. But for its concept and the jokes, particularly in the front half of it, really, really, really funny.
Very good. Thank you, Matt. All right, Stick Figure Squad, you can breathe now. By the way, was that was the prison guard constantly keeping time? Was that modeled after me?
Yeah.
I feel like it might have been.
Sure.
All right. Mute, and we're going to bring in the Banana Sock Wizards. That is Travis, Diddy, and Shane. Welcome, guys.
Hello there.
All right. Credits on this one. This was If You Can't Stand the Heat. TV's Travis was the narrator, did the assembly cut, script writing. Shane was the host, did the music, final edit, script writing. Diddy was sidekick sound effects and script writing. I got to ask Diddy, jumping into the sound effects, which is, you know, usually you've got Shane doing music and sound effects. Did you just kind of pull that out of his hands, like rip him from his grip doing sound effects?
No, I just, he was doing music and we needed sound effects. So I went ahead and did them.
All right. Tell me about the concept behind If You Can't Stand the Heat.
So we initially, at one point when we were coming up with the concept, an MXC style kind of show came up, and, that somehow led into mixing that with a best in show sort of style cat show. So that's where cats come in here, and went to the point where we started actually writing a script based on that. And there was a couple of comments I think Don specifically had about how, you know, that he only got so far with it and he was kind of getting bored with it. And so we decided to go another direction. And after talking with Tom, you know, we presented so many different ideas, as you might be able to tell. We had too many ideas. And so whether or not it was the right way to go, we just kind of threw them all together and tried to make them in a cohesive manner.
Yeah, I mean, you guys did come in, which I think is a really good way to approach the discussion with Tom, is to come in with a lot of ideas, bounce them all off of him, and see which ones stick. Because it kind of follows what he had told LARP, which is to come up with five ideas, throw the four worst ones out, and you're left with the really good idea. He had given you asked you about coming up with a fictional science fiction show instead of making the Death Race a reality show, making it a sci-fi TV show. Did you play around with that idea at all, or did it always pretty much kind of center around it being a Death Race 2000 cooking show?
Yeah, I think the Death Race was kind of the focus, and I should say cooking was, I think that was originally Travis had that idea also, which is kind of what got us to mix them together. Yeah, to be honest, I don't really know why we didn't go the space route ultimately, other than Death Race just kind of being the primary direction.
Yeah, and I don't know if that would have been a good idea or not, but I was just curious if you traveled down that road at all.
Yeah, when we talked to Tom, we gave him the idea, and he's like, okay, now take it farther. Mm-hmm. Keep going with it. Just keep going. So we decided to keep going.
Well, and he also told you know when to scale it back, or like know when you've gone too far. I noticed that in the credits, nobody had the concept nailed down. Is there one person? Can we get it down to one person whose whose initial idea was?
Can we? I mean, it really was like a group effort. Okay.
I mean, I will say I pushed for it to be, you know, kind of a mishmash of like a cooking reality show with mixed in with something else. So I kind of pushed it in that direction, I think, more than.
So, Travis, you had the idea to add the cooking show twist to it. Okay. You know, just asking questions here. That's all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and get to the judges here, and let's talk to Scott.
All right. Wasn't my favorite. It wasn't my least favorite, but there was a, for me this week, the winner was so clearly the winner that it's actually kind of hard to say who was second or third, but I just felt like there was not enough reality in your reaction to the fake show. And I know that sounds crazy and you weren't here for me to try to explain this to the last group, but the big key to winning this for me was coming up with something, even if it was implausible or a crazy concept for the show that you're covering, but to be able to take that concept and then orbit around it in a realistic manner, to sort of treat it with the same level of thought, respect, and so on that you would if this was an actual show. And I just didn't feel it here. Not enough real coverage, too much parody. And I wanted it to sound like fanboys talking about this rad reality show. And it didn't come off that way to me. A little too scripted, a little too narrated. I think it was funny that you guys referenced Cats. So did one other team. Well, the other team really referenced them.
I know.
But yeah, next Cats. Week big week for Cats. Cat week here.
Whole dedicated Cat week.
I mean, cat comedy would be more of an actual thing that people could work with, Brian. Yeah. Jeez. Give him some tools to work with.
Yeah. We'll give him the return of Mr. Piddles or Mrs. Piddles.
That's
sure.
Fine.
Okay. My main complaint with one other group is one I would put here, which is just not a complaint. You guys are up against a huge wall. Like, this is hard. And it's conceptually the hardest thing Brian has dealt, I think, in two seasons of the show, really. It's that hard. And I don't mean it just to ruffle up Brian. And I think it's a good challenge. There's no reason why we can't do these, but it really is hard. And so to pull it off right, I really think the best approach would have been a more straight, fun guys talking about cool stuff approach rather than the scripted approach that you guys took. And also, I know this is not a prerequisite when you guys do these things, but it was very easy to tell, you know, the voices were the same people. Again, you're not impressionist. That's not what you're here for. I totally get it. I would just throw that out that it was a little jarring because I would hear, you know, the same voice slightly octave higher or lower. And it was hard for me to get into the idea that that was an interview of somebody different.
Yeah. And so for that, originally, I was going to do the other voices, but my voice was wrecked from a cold for most of the week. So
I couldn't pull it off. I totally understand, but it's that kind of stuff, little bits and pieces there that kind of added up for me. Overall, though, I'd give you guys second place this week, and I think the effort was certainly there. I could tell you guys were trying hard to make this happen. I think in the Herculean effort it takes to get this particular challenge done, that you guys did pretty well with what you had. So yeah, I guess that's my take.
There were a lot of people who had suffered from some, I don't know, stress-related colds this week. Again, watching Discord, there was some maladies striking the contestant base this week. Jenny, how about you?
Okay. So this is my least favorite one. And again, comedy, totally subjective. You could ask three more people and they would have three more opinions. So I never want to hold on too tight to that. What bummed me out the most about this was first of all, let me say what I liked about it. It was a great concept. It was a great name. You had it all in the concept in the name, but in the execution, it really kind of fell apart. First of all, it was way too complex. The names were way too, like, I don't know. I may let the other half handle that one. I was confused by the cats being in it. I was like, I had no sense that they were cats until a litter box was mentioned. I was confused about the pooping. I felt like there were boob jokes in there I didn't need. Like, I didn't need all the sound effects the whole time. Like, and it did sound written. And also, my main concern is, were you saying Twitter flitter. Or Flitter?
We didn't want to use, Flitter. We didn't want to use the real saying, Twitter.
Like, as if it were Twitter. Right. And Tesla, but you guys used Tesla, right? As in a Tesla car?
Oh, we might have. Yeah, we might have.
Did I hear that? Yeah, so my I was going to go with a multiverse thing here, which is either you stick to all things that live in this world, or you stick to all things that live in your world, but you can't have both, or else you're starting down a Stephen King road that is really hard to navigate, right? So it's just a little tiny note, but that's something to really think about. And I didn't know what was going on, and like, just felt very,
I think what you're saying, Jenny, is that it was too fast and too furious.
Touche.
I think only one of them was a cat, right? Mrs. Piddles was...
Mrs. Piddles, which was the cohort of one of the drivers. Yes, yeah. It was the sidekick of one of the drivers.
Yep. That obviously speaks to the confusion. If Jenny wasn't able to follow along whether they were all cats or one cat, that definitely says that it wasn't clear for her. Justin.
Okay. Man, did you guys build a world? You built a hell of a world, man. There was a lot of world in there, and people were in it, and boy, were they doing stuff. I'll be good goddamned if I could remember any of it, because there was so much of it. But there's no denying that you guys put a lot of time and effort into building this universe. There were, again, let me just make this clear. It's not that there was not a lot of funny names and puns and comments and everything. Like, that was all there, and I would have laughed if I weren't trying to, if my brain wasn't trying to find solid footing on exactly what was happening. And that ultimately kind of gets to Jenny's 100% right that comedy is totally subjective, and a million different people can laugh at a million different things. What to me separates, and believe you me, guys, it took a career of writing really dog ass comedy for me to realize this. I learned the hard way, and in fact, I should dig up old sketches just so you guys can point and laugh. But you got to make none of the jokes matter if the audience doesn't understand. They have to know the premise before you even get to the point where the jokes can be judged as jokes. And ultimately, that's where, where this one failed. The ironic part is there was a moment during the podcast where just briefly, one of the co-hosts it becomes clear that they may not have watched this episode of the show, that they don't know key elements of it. And to me, that's like, oh, that's a very funny, if you're parodying, because like, all right, they're watching a television show, premise. They're doing a podcast about a television show, premise. But the larger kind of joke to it has to be something other than just reading funny names, in my opinion, although that can be okay if you do it right. But there, the idea that one person didn't watch the show, and now they're either going to make stuff up or they're going to try and go with the lead of the other person, that to me was something that you guys had and just ran right by because you had built this amazing, very complex world.
Very good. Thank you, Justin. Matt.
Okay, like everybody has been saying, and I've been saying, very complicated assignment. Got to nail the tropes for podcasts. Got to come up with a world that you know well enough that you could pull references from it and talk about it and make people laugh. So the temptation is to eliminate all risk, to write down as much as you can and sort of go from there because there's so much for you to do. The problem with that is you have to be really good at taking things off the page if you do that. You know, it's like watching a guy give a wedding toast. And if the guy has pages in front of him and is talking to the
crowd. Or girl.
Or just a guy. I don't prefer the girl wedding toast.
You're canceled.
I'm a relic. I'm a relic. I'm old school. Only male wedding toasts for me. But you know, when you're off the page and you're loose and you're connecting with everybody, you can really feel that. And I feel like this, and I can't say I wouldn't have made the mistake with an assignment of this complexity. you guys weren't able to pull it off the page so that it felt sort of canned and read. And again, some good writing in there. I will say that, and this is my preference. And sometimes when you're writing comedy, people will give you the note that your script is too jokey. Sometimes when you use names like the John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith brothers, or if you overuse alliteration and things like that, it will almost feel like you're playing for the laugh, and that will make it less funny. And I felt that a little bit in this, maybe. So I don't know. It's a lot of it's personal preference. So you can take it what it's worth. But at the end of the day, I just felt like, maybe it could have been an entirely different thing if you'd been able to slow down with it, be able to speak extemporaneously and look at it like you're just talking to each other. But I understand that that's a tall order. It's like Trump on teleprompter or Trump off teleprompter. And the key is never involve Trump. Don't mention him.
Unless he's giving the toast at your wedding.
Unless, yes. As that is a male I can get behind.
I have the best men.
And funny.
very good. All right, thank you very much, Matt. I think you brought up something that I read that humongous Saturday Night Live book that, you know, has all the past not ready for primetime players and guests and hosts and that sort of thing.
It's
a great book. And one of the things they talk about is how it's a kind of a writer's room rule that they don't come up with funny names, that the names are as close to like believable but slightly weird. I'm trying to remember what Kenan Thompson's game show character, it's something like, you know, Larry DeWhat or something like that is his typical game show name. I think I'm getting the first name wrong, but it's something along those lines where it's not over the top slapsticky, but it's odd enough that it stings for a second while you move into the next joke. You know, in Atlanta.
Right. And fellow writers.
And that's, I remember reading an interview about the SNL joking or the SNL writers room where at times it can go in the opposite direction where the perfect boring name needs to be found.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Like it can't be.
Absolutely.
It can't be too boring. It's got to be just a little weird. Right. But not too, and like that. I think it was said as a negative that it was just a pedantic waste of 2 hours as they debated whether East or West Plank High School is funnier. Right?
So true, yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you, judges, and thank you, Banana Sock Wizards. All right. We've heard from our judges, guest and regular judges. Thank you guys all for your input. It's now time to pick the winner for this week. Based on the scores, probably not a big surprise after hearing those reviews. Stick Figure Squad, congratulations, you guys, for Rec Yard Recap. It was the winning podcast this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, and definitely want you guys to expand on this, judges, but taking something, instead of making the subject TV show crazy, and then building a crazy recap show on top of it, keeping the, again, going with the mundane for a TV show and then building the comedy on top of that. Is that kind of where they stuck the landing on this one?
I think that's where they won the day. I think anything else would have been a mistake, and it was a mistake for the other groups. And not that they didn't do great work with making that choice. They just had to deal with the consequences of it, which is it's extremely hard. You made more work for yourselves than you needed. You weren't able to just sort of be yourselves, which is a bunch of really talented, funny people. And it bums me out because I think that concept was there for all three. Mm-hmm. One of them, I mean, I'd love to know, and then maybe they'll speak to this, but I'd love to know if they actually, you know, caved to that idea or felt that and went, you know what we should do? We should just build a show and then we should just be ourselves around it. Like that's how it felt to me. And it felt like the absolute right choice.
And you guys can answer that. I know you guys all three don't really care much for doing scripted stuff, especially you, Melissa, hearing your discussions with Tom and even with me. How scripted, how far did you guys go with that? And kind of like Scott said, keeping it yourselves.
Melissa,
go ahead, Melissa.
How I structure my show is writing an outline. So I actually was the most scripted. But I did really want to push that we stay true to ourselves because I'm not good at acting, which kind of falls in line with the scripting kind of thing. So yeah, I did want it to kind of be a discussion, and I think the team didn't disagree. So
yeah,
definitely makes sense.
And I might shock my other two teammates when I say that I actually do really well scripted, and I heavily scripted mine. They might not realize that because I actually copied our outline and put this my scripted parts on a different thing because I didn't want it. I wanted them to be able to react honestly to what I was saying. but I do really well scripted, and I actually wanted to write more jokes, but Melissa brought it back. I think there were a couple of judges or a couple of times it was mentioned that it was really well balanced. And I just think that we all worked really well together and kind of told each other, I think we're going too far in this direction, or I think you're going too far in that direction. And we just,
I think Bobby and Kristen really, really push me out of my comfort zone. And I bring them back. So it's a really good balance.
It's balance. Yeah, exactly. Jenny, how did they do on the Jenny Josephson analysis test? Did you detect any edits?
Just fantastic. I did not hear any edits. Woo! I really didn't. And that is, you always have to have someone listen to your work, because like if you're going through even just a 10-minute thing, but let alone a 45-minute edit, you get tired, you space out, you make bargains with yourself, like, I don't need to cut this. And the thing that really separates an amateur editor from a professional editor isn't necessarily doing all those things. It's getting someone else to listen to it and pointing out the ones you missed and then going back and having another pass. And that's why, you know, to steal a phrase, teamwork makes the dream work. Like, you don't have to do it alone. The editor is not the last word on the topic, the team. And so I really, I was proud of that, and I was proud of that edit, and I was proud of how it sounded like, and it does sound like you hit a really good balance between two poles in terms of instincts about the podcast, and that's how it should be.
Very good. Jury, anything to add?
Just great job. And to echo what Scott said, and like, man, simplicity. Just have some, just give me solid ground that I can understand. You guys did it. You guys won.
Thank you.
Very good. And Matt, any final words on this one?
I guess that just there's nothing like a great, well-executed, simple concept. And, you know, just the concept of it alone made you laugh from the beginning. And so they were already on your side, even though, Melissa and Kirsten, I guess, cannot give toasts at any wedding.
Well, now that we live in this draconian society, this Handmaid Tale-esque dystopia.
It starts somewhere. It's
it starts with the toast. That's where Gilead exactly. was born.
That's where the Handmaid Tale starts. Yeah.
Yeah. And just one last thing, not to hammer this point home, but I know everything that happened in that podcast in terms of the universe. I know that prisons exist. I know that people go to prison. I know that people watch television, and people in prison probably watch television. And it's probably the funniest thing that they could be obsessed about is our cops, right? Because they're the ones that put them in prison. If you look at the other shows, one of them, I'm in a world where murder is legal, right? And that's just understood. That there's this crazy reality show that the two people that are talking about it are super cool with it and they're mega fans. And the other one, cats can talk to humans, right? And it's like, it's not to say that any of that is necessarily not funny, but you got to handle it with care. Like it is something where you need to be, you can't just throw stuff like that into your world unless you know exactly where the audience is going to think about it. And then how you're going to play off it to the maximum effect.
Justin, is it like the old, you can have an abnormal person in a normal situation and a normal person in an abnormal situation, but you can't layer and have like an abnormal person in an abnormal situation, or else it's all just too crazy.
Yeah. I mean, or if you do, like some of the best comedy are situations like that, but like, oh my God, if you pay attention to the detail that goes into it, it has to walk you kind of like step by step
through stuff. But yeah, I mean, look at, like, you know, BoJack Horseman is a insane world where it's the most, like, therapy driven, you know, just sad boy kind of show, right?
The emotional truth is there.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know and love these, you know and love these characters. To be honest, it's the reason why, like, the, well, all right, we can just comedy nerd out, but whatever. But yeah, that's look, trust me, I do not pity, or I pity the fact that you guys had to be thrown into this, because I spent about 10 years of my life trying to be good at it, and I still wasn't by the end. So it's very, very hard.
Very good.
I wanted to point out that was like a perfect example of our balance is, like, after talking to Tom, I was kind of like, no, we need to push the cop show more and, like, throw in a robot cop or something like that. And Bobby pulled it back, and then Kristen brought up the prison idea again. Mm-hmm. And that's just like a perfect kind of example of how we all work together.
It's funny. I think it would have worked. I mean, you guys could have added your robot cop. You could have added a whole bunch of just whacked out stuff for the show, but it's how you covered the show that won it, that won the day. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the, how clever is the fake show you made? It's how did you dance around your fake show? And I would argue that's the killer this week. That's what
But, and the other thing is, there's really, you guys have had a great tone of voice for this, because you weren't wackety schmackety razzle dazzle, right? Because it kind of plays better that you guys had a slower tone, but that's the kind of people that I think would be obsessed with the 50th iteration of Law and Order, right? Like,
I was trying to put a finger on that, Justin, and that's totally true. There was something funny about the fact about how casual these people and almost NPR like they are in federal prison.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if anything, there was like a moment that didn't ring true to me was when it was like, oh, I'm going to get you, Lobo.
Pooch.
Like, yeah. I swear to God, I got you. I got your number. And it's like, like, no, you definitely went to jail for tax evasion. Like there's that's definitely like this tone of voice. And also it's like, I don't know, but yeah, great. Everything. But again, it's like, that's where simplicity matters, because now I get to sink into that. Mm-hmm. I get to sink into the idea that it's like, oh, now I'm paying attention to the way you're saying syllables. Like, now I'm hanging on the fact that you say awesome 7 times about the most garbage cliched TV cop ever that you just have like a man crush on. Like, you can ensconce yourself in that joke. And that's what really, to me, makes me laugh, really.
Very good. All right. Well, congratulations, Stick Figure Squad. We'll be talking to you here in just a moment. Now it's the tough part. Boy, I could have let them talk forever, because it kept pushing the tough part of the show for me out further and further and further. But because we did not eliminate anyone last week, that means it is a double elimination this week. Boy, you know, every good deed has bad repercussions, doesn't it? So 2 of you, unfortunately, are going to be going home today. And this is something that was getting argued about even during the show, as far as who the judges were picking. And let me preface this by saying the judges don't want anybody to go home. They like all of you. And it wasn't a matter of like, oh, yeah, finally we can get rid of so-and-so. It was a matter of, well, this was where this one kind of failed, and that's why this person needs to leave the competition. So we do have 2 players from the Banana Sock Wizards who are going to be leaving the competition, and I'm afraid it is Diddy and Shane. Hearing the team or the judges talking about the simplicity of Rec Yard Recap, that it was kind of the opposite effect with If You Can't Stand the Heat. You guys wrote a lot of great jokes, and I think it would have served you really well to pull back on some of those and maybe throw half of them or even 2/3 of them out. But I'll let the judges kind of speak to that. What were the big points of this one failing? Justin?
I mean, we went over it. We don't need to really drill it in.
The dead horse where killing is legal.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, guys, this sucks. This really, really does because they're, you know, again, this is a hard premise. And if somebody would have been able to do their job last week when I wasn't here, then maybe I wouldn't have to eliminate both of you. But it's you got a joke writing thing and you wrote a million jokes and now two of you are going home. And so that really sucks. But ultimately, look, you got to have them breathe. You know, you got to put the audience in a mood of comprehension so you can give them the ability to laugh. And ultimately, that was the problem.
Yeah. Scott or Jenny?
Same. I mean, there's not much to add except, you know, this is the first time we've had multiple people taken from a team. So obviously the dynamic moving forward is super weird. There's a third member of that team that's now teamless. And Brian has to shuffle again or do whatever we're doing next. And
it's going to be tough because our next challenge is a two-person discussion. It's a no, just kidding. Go ahead. Let you continue.
Yeah. And it needs to be really funny, but about a big thing.
That's right. In a world where killing is legal.
On your head, using microphones from the 30s. Go. But yeah, like I don't have a ton to add except to say, again, none of these were terrible today.
Yeah.
We're not at that stage. We're at the stage of, you know, nooks and crannies. And you guys nooked and crannied yourself just slightly below the bar today. And that's it. So you should be proud of all the work you've done. And I hate seeing you go.
Yeah, it was just watching them discuss it and watching scores and things like that. It was so close. Go ahead, Jenny. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
May I give a warning, not to this team, because I think this has been covered. May I give a warning out there in the universe to the general population? There is, I don't know if you're ever on comedy Twitter, but we all know that there's this concept of bit stealing. And then there's like a million gradations from sort of like subconscious, like a subconscious hitchhiker finds its way into your comedy and you didn't realize because it was something you saw like a million years ago and you don't remember it. I'm being directed. And then there's like outright bit stealing, and then there's just like there's a joke that's been out in the ecosystem for 1,000 years, which is like the end of every joke my dad ever told me. And so I just want you all, if you ever have to do comedy again, just be real careful. If it sounds like the perfect thing, just do like a little mental check. And it's a weird thing to have to do, but you got to do it because unintentionally walking into that territory can be really, really bad if you're in a comedy environment. And again, we're doing a podcasting show, so we're not going there, but I just want everybody to know that that is like such a minefield, like people's careers end because of it. And it's just good to like, it would be the comedy version of fact checking. Right. And I think it's just something to think about for everyone because everyone can run into this all the time.
Okay, Jenny, I get it. I swear to God, I didn't know about that Fred Savage thing when I came up with the concept for this week.
Well played. And
great wedding toast, Jenny. Prove my point.
Put baby in the corner. You know, and you know, also the fine line between homage and accidental lease subleasing of a bit. And I will also just say that, like, you know, when we ask you, like, who did the concept and you stand up strongly for your concept, that's always a good thing one way or the other. So, like, don't do that thing where you don't put the concept down in your credits. Like somebody or everybody or whoever has to take credit for it because that's an important thing to us. Mm-hmm. And I think you sort of see the outcome of that.
Yeah, I think you guys were worried about me asking the concept on if you can't stand the heat. This was something that was kind of weighing on the judges, like, all right, if somebody owns up to this concept or steps up and says, that it was my solo concept, then that would have had an effect. Unfortunately, it was a joint concept between all three of you, so the judges couldn't kind of use that in their decision making. But that was, you know, sometimes I'm asking that question for good reasons and not for bad reasons. So be ready to own it.
One last note, just to hammer home on what Jenny said about you know, things being similar to other stuff. There is no comedy court. There are only comedy mobs. Like, there is no discovery. There is no innocent until proven guilty. It is just one of those arts where you either survive the mob or your charred corpse is found the next day. And it's not saying that it's fair, but the one thing that should, you know, ring through anybody's head and stuff like this. And it's not, look, in anything else, you can take a whole concept, a whole bit from another podcast that's just like, oh, well, like, no one's like, oh, you're going to do emails at the end of your show? Rip off artists, right? Like, because right. The rules there aren't the same. In comedy, magic's the same way. There's just some things where people are very touchy about very minor stuff. And you have to understand that the ultimate judgment isn't going to come because of the facts. It's going to come in somebody else's head. And you can't control where they are before, during, and after they make that decision.
Very good. So no comedy court, but there is a comedy jury. Got it.
Same thing works for artists and the illustrators, by the way. Same exact deal.
Yeah. There's no fairness. It doesn't go to the Supreme Artist Court.
Nope.
Right? Like, it's just like, that looks like that. Rip off artists.
Yep.
I'll never buy another thing from you. Everybody, cancel them.
Yep. Cancel culture. Let's go.
Right. All right. Well, let's brush ourselves off. We're going to put Comedy Week behind us for yet another season. As I work on
God.
That, as
it's
I work
like returning on that Russian, to Nam. Jesus.
As I work on
how
that Russian
did you guys
idea.
Leave? How did you guys leave two eliminations for Comedy Week of all weeks? This should be the one where no one goes home because everyone tried their best.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, it was tough. Last week really made it tough to not do a made it tough to do an elimination just because.
That's it. I can't skip a week anymore.
You can't.
That's
no,
it.
You can't.
No, we that's need you. This is what happens.
We need the heavy hand of jury here every week.
Look, and this is why, right? Because we could have just had one person go home this week. We had to send two.
Next week, jury sends a whole team home.
Are you going to let jury paint himself into a martyr on this? That's okay.
He is the comedy jury. I have to kind of
You need
it.
Me on that wall.
Overruled. All right. Let's talk about next week's challenge, where we're done with comedy, some nice light stuff, right? So now we want you to go heavy. It's time to dust off that press badge, pull up the collar on your trench coat, and do some investigation. Yes, we want you to create an investigative podcast. Pick a subject that interests you and that you think will interest your listeners and deep dive into it. Pull out the bits that spark the most curiosity and highlight those. And remember, while investigative always means true, it doesn't always mean true crime. So don't feel like you're pigeonholed into that one little spot of making it a true crime thing. You can make it current and topical. You can make it something historical. Just keep in mind that now you've got 15 minutes to tell us a good story and get it to us by our usual deadline. Why 15 minutes? Well, because I'm going to move Travis to LARP. So you now have a wizard LARP or LARP sock or something. I don't know. I'll let you guys figure that out. If you just want to keep it LARP, that's fine. But Stick Figure Squad, I don't want to mess with a team that's doing okay in this. At least not yet. We've got plenty of time left in the competition. So, Travis, you're going to be joining Team LARP and adding your strength to their strengths and seeing if you can take down the mighty Stick Figure. Speaking of Stick Figure, as winners of this week, you're going to get a bonus. Scott Philbrook is the co-host of Astonishing Legends. It's a show that for the last 5 years has been investigating legendary, strange, and unusual events and locations. And while he usually works with the unexplained, Scott will be doing the explaining as he spends 15 minutes with you answering your questions about how to create a compelling investigative podcast. Teams, any questions? Really? I did that good a job of explaining
it. I just can't think of any right now.
I was going to say, wait, the questions will come.
Yeah.
The questions will come. Okay, that's fine. Judges.
We're trying to breathe and all that, you know.
Judges, with their task being investigative podcasting, what recommendations do you have? Justin, you want to start?
Yeah. Well, aren't you guys lucky that now back-to-back weeks you get me judging you in careers that I failed in? look, here's how...
What careers haven't you failed?
Bullying people on the internet, apparently.
Look, the old phrase is you fail in every career you don't try to be
exactly
in.
Yeah,
there you go.
Look, here's how I'm going to be judging these podcasts. It costs nothing to Google and fact check, so each and every time that you guys make a claim or say a thing and you are not providing backup evidence or just effort on this, that's where I will be adding up demerits, and the person who has the most will go home.
Yeah, footnotes wouldn't be a terrible thing to throw in somewhere. I would also say who, what, where, when, why, and how in the most interesting, semi-suspenseful way possible. That is my sum total of my failed journalism career.
I mean, I would echo that because I don't have any experience in it except to say the exciting part matters, and I do like a good podcast that's about investigation, whether it's true crime or anything else. And as much as the story matters maybe factually, it's more important that we are compelled to listen, so just keep that in mind.
Here's
also, you don't have to go big. You don't, like, don't go big. Go local. This is a really good opportunity for hyper local and something that really means something to you. Don't do what Lore has done. Don't do what Serial, you know, like, don't go big.
Well, I mean, Serial was a great example, right? Because that was like a story you probably hadn't heard of. Yeah, and then it made it more. I'm just going to give you one more. This is a lesson that I got from a journalism professor, my favorite journalism professors. The lead is very important, right? And so this was for newspaper writing, but I think it applies for this. Make the first words I hear the same as if you were calling a friend and you just needed to get the story out. The thing that would make them go, "What? Really? Tell me more." Like, just it was always helpful for me writing whenever I'm like, well, what's the key thing here? Like, what's the way that I can hook people in? I just always thought about getting on the phone and what the first like five words I would say to my best friend or my mom or something like that.
The city council voted to raise taxes.
Yeah. Or no, for that. Right. So it's like the city council voted to raise taxes. It'd be like, hey, your tax bill's going up. Like, so now it's like, yeah. Like, what did, because they, okay, tax. So they're going to have follow up questions to the first one. But the second one, they're like, what? Screw that. Goddamn mayor. Like, you know, now you're immediately bringing people in. So think about it like that.
Good. All right. Well, with that, we'll let you teams get started on your investigative podcasts. And we'll thank our judges. Thank you, Jenny Josephson. Thank you, Scott Johnson. Thank you, Justin Robert Young. And thank you to special guest judge Matt Flanagan. Tell folks a very funny thing that you've done that you want them to go check out right now on YouTube or elsewhere. Or on, you
know. Oh, Matt lives off the internet. He has, but if you want
tell
to make
us
8 cents,
one really funny thing that they can go and rent from that one last Blockbuster video in Wasala,
the YouTube version of Nerdtacular 2015's Frog Pants All Stars debacle. That's a fantastic.
Or you can give 8 cents to our family by going and watching Love Bites, an episode entitled. Do you remember what it was called?
I don't even remember, but
that wasn't it. Okay, there's an episode in Love Bites that is a defunct TV show that
why
we wrote
are you
on
directing
for what? Because I want the 8 cents.
Little known anthology show from 2010.
Yes.
Poorly rated and uneven. Good luck to you.
And it involved a story from my life about a girl with a boyfriend in Spain. So if you do the extra work and you find that 3 months later, we'll get 8 cents.
Do teams get any extra points if they hunt this thing down and prove that they watched it?
Absolutely not. No.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Matt. Big thanks to Hammond Chamberlain, Alex Albisu, and Monica Stone for their work behind the scenes. On behalf of the entire team here, this is Brian Ibbett saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on America's Next Top Podcaster. That's it for this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Join us next week as our teams break out their cereal bowls and work on their investigative podcasts. But before we go, let's hear from this week's two eliminated contestants, Shane and Diddy.
Whoa, what is this place?
Are we in heaven?
No, I think this is the ANTP afterlife.
Diddy and Shane's outro, Diddy and Shane's outro, Diddy and Shane's outro, Diddy and Shane's awesome outro.
Surely they wouldn't kick two people off the same team on Comedy Week, no less. That'd be like changing the rules. It's like they didn't even notice my record 6 unique songs, 42 recited lines of dialogue, and 203 final edit cuts this week.
Really? Or my fine-tuned sound effect crafting? Superb script writing, impeccable voice work, and meow-valicious cat jokes? Mrs. Piddles is coming for you.
So much for taking last week into account. Didn't Brian literally say he wasn't going to do a double elimination the week prior to doing so?
Yeah, that and the rules said that somebody had to go home every week. I don't know, man. It sure looks like heaven. And what's with this vintage virtuosic jukebox?
I guess this is where all my songs go to die as well. I went into this thinking I'd be happy making it past the first round, but now I just feel like I got dumped.
More like I got cheated on.
Hey, what's this floating here?
Oh, it looks like a scroll of some sort. I wonder if these are lyrics.
It reads, "Thanks for listening to America's Next Top Podcaster. This is eliminated contestant Shane Maddox."
And I'm Don, a.k.a. Diddy, Scott Johnson, Jenny Josephson, and Justin Robert Young are our judges, and Tom Merritt is our coach.
Wait, what's happening right now?
Are they really making us both read?
Hammond Chamberlain is our producer, and Brian Ibbett is our executive producer and host.
Monica Stone is our social media coordinator, and listen for follow-up interviews with Alex Albisu.
Yep, I think that's exactly what's happening.
Can you believe the nerve?
Music is by Andrew Allen. Find him online at andrewallenmusic.com.
To learn more about this podcast, visit americasnexttoppodcaster.com. Follow us on Twitter at Podcasting Idol. Discuss the game with other fans on Facebook at facebook.com/americasnexttoppodcaster.
In all seriousness, I truly want to thank Brian, Hammond, Tom, Scott, Jenny, Justin, Monica, Alex, Andrew, Jen, Tyler, Drew, Travis, Don, and all the contestants from this season for all contributing to such a great program and allowing me to be part of this. I've been listening to these shows for around 12 years now. They have thoroughly entertained and inspired me, and I'm grateful for every moment of it. My teammates were all simply amazing to work with, and I hope to work with them again in the future or see them at an upcoming Frog Pants event. Thankfully, it's very easy for me to say this, given they are both on the same team now, but I want to wish my two remaining former teammates, the Jen and TV's Travis, the best of luck for the remainder of the competition. You can occasionally find me on social media at ShaveMadOx or listen to my shows at NiceGuyNetwork.com.
I thought about pulling a Rishi and being salty about the double elimination, but after reflecting on the whole experience, I think I got what I wanted out of it. I met a whole bunch of wonderful people, and I grew as a podcaster and a person, and in the end, that's what it was all about for me. I learned so much from each and every one of the folks that I worked with this year. Thank you so very much to Bobby, David, and Kristen of the Sock Puppets. Bobby, I'm still expecting to get that puppet in the mail. And of course, Shane and Travis. You guys were awesome. I want to give a very big thank you to Brian for concocting this whole thing. What an amazing experience that I will never forget. Thanks to Tom, Scott, Jenny, and Jury for being honest with us. It's that honesty that we will take away from this to make us better at our craft. And last but not least, thanks to Hammond, Monica, Andrew, and some guy named Alex for keeping the train on the tracks and rolling along smoothly. You can find me online at Diddy Does Games in all places. Until next time, see you later, folks.